Welcome to Module 1. What I'm doing in this first module is basically giving you the lecture that you already have written down in the first section of the class. And that's entitled The History of Racing. What this should allow you to do is kind of get a feel for how I lecture and what I think is important and what I would write down if I were listening to the lecture. So here we go. The first idea is that certainly man and horse go back a long way, and it's only human nature that one person said, hey, my horse is faster than your horse. And this certainly happened in ancient times. Think about Ben-Hur. And let me add in here that when you click on the highlighted words through this lecture, you will get some visuals to go along with it. So early on, man used horse for warfare. Apparently, earlier than that, he might have eaten the horse, but certainly the horse was very important to him in warfare, and they needed a horse that could carry armor, carry the protection of the people in battle. So the horse was a big horse, a stout horse. Those were the draft horse breeds. But as war changed, so did the horse that was needed, and a lighter horse, something that was faster. Speed was going to be the issue now, not so much being able to carry all the heavy armor. So these desert-bred horses, those hot bloods, horses came from Egypt, the Middle East. They were shipped to England to cross with these really heavy horses to put a little more speed into them. The knights no longer needed those horses to carry the big weight. They needed horses that could get there quickly. And breeding of hobbies or racehorses took off. So although we could go over horse racing history worldwide, we really need to keep our focus on North America. So I'm going to jump ahead. In the 1600s, the first horses were shipped to North America, and probably they participated in informal racing of some sort. But by the mid-1600s, 1664, New Amsterdam became New York, and the governor laid out a formal racetrack, probably the first racetrack in what is now the United States. It was named after the famous horse racing center in England named Newmarket. And if you're familiar with New York, it's currently in what is Nassau County. By 1674, sprint racing, similar to quarter horse racing, remember right now we just have horses. We don't have breeds of horses. We have just horses that are more suitable to one type of racing, to one type than another. But sprint racing was really popular in Virginia. They just used what they had. They went right down the street. You didn't need a track. You didn't need a lot of fancy things. But in 1674, it was deemed illegal. Why? Did they have a problem with racing? No, just the safety. People were getting mowed down in the streets. And at that time, remember, we didn't have quarter horses as such, but we had the colonial sprinter, the quarter passer, or the illustrious colonial quarter running horse, as they were known. These were the sprint specialists. Now, even in this time, those of you who are familiar with racing might be familiar with the way some of the racing was handled. Weight for age, fillies got allowances, winners carried more weight than non-winners. Fraternities were even in use. If these terms are unfamiliar to you, don't worry. We will certainly cover everything as this course goes on. Let's move to the 1700s. As you will see in your notes, some of these states are not consistent. That's because different reputable resources have them at different times. But in the big picture, the mid-1700s will be fine for our testing purposes. So in about 1750, a horse named Janus was imported, a grandson of the Godolphin Arabian, and his offspring have gone on to be the quicker, more compact, the speedier horses, and he is known as the foundation sire of today's quarter horse. At the time, remember, there was not the Quarter Horse Association. A little later, about 1788, Messenger, an English thoroughbred, was brought to the U.S. He was a descendant of the Darley Arabian. Remember, we had three Arabians that were brought in that are the foundation for all of thoroughbred and quarter horses in this country. Messenger came, and he was the descendant of the Darley Arabian, and not only is the foundation sire of the thoroughbred breed, but his progeny had the skills to trot and pace, so he is known as the foundation sire of the standard bred. So as we go back, we can see that all of the racing breeds that are very popular today do go back to a common gene pool, and it will take hundreds of years for them to be specialized to the point that they are today. In 1791, the first English stud book for thoroughbreds was founded, which consisted of 387 mares that all trace back to one of these three foundation desert horses, also known as Arabians. The connection to them is made through one of their thoroughbred offspring, Eclipse from the Darley Arabian, Matcham from the Godolphin Arabian, and Herod from the Byerly Turk. This stud book was originally kept privately by James Weatherby, and is still overseen by Weatherby and Sons for the current owner of that information, the English Jockey Club. We're going to jump up to the 1800s now, and this is a time when the short racing kind of fell out of favor. It was no longer in vogue. Sprinters started moving west with settlers. So as they were less popular as racehorses on the East Coast, they became more popular for what they could do as people started moving west. People found out that these horses had a real knack for hauling wagons, doing whatever was needed with the family that was on the move, and they also had a strong cow sense. They could help move the cattle out west. These horses, again, this was not a breed, but they were referred to as steel dust. This is truly the beginning of what is now the quarter horse. 1806, the first distance race that was trotting was contested. These were long distance races, much longer than you'd ever see now, 10, 25, 40, 50 miles. Sometimes these races were contested ridden, but more often than not, they used big wooden wheeled vehicles, and these races were held over country roads. Remember, racing on country roads at this point is still illegal, but it must have been overlooked by the local constable. 1849, Hambletonian, a grandson of Messenger, was born. This is probably the most famous harness horse in history. He was not well thought of as a young horse. His parentage didn't show that he would be the kind of horse that he was. He was purchased for $135 along with his mother, and he turned out to be an excellent, excellent horse, and he eventually went on to stud, producing 1,331 live foals. One year was recorded that he produced 158 foals, another 217. Even with today's technology, that's a very, very large number. Today, every one of the 60-some thousand registered standardbreds trace back to him. He was that prolific in that breed. 1867, the Trotting Horse Register was developed, and by 1879, the standard to get into that, remember, it's not genetically based at this point, but performance-based. The standard for admission was the ability to cover 1 mile in 2.5 minutes, hence the name standard bred. Genetic, not yet. Performance, yes. 1873, first American stud book for thoroughbreds is started and kept privately by Colonel Sanders Bruce. That's in the United States. Remember, earlier on in the 1700s, the English were already keeping records of now a breed, a genetically restrictive stud book. 1892, the pneumatic tire. Big, big step forward for the harness racing industry. It changed everything the way they did. Times got faster, and I'm sure it gave a much smoother ride. 1894, the Daily Racing Form and the Jockey Club were both formed. The Jockey Club then took over the responsibility for the stud book. In the 1900s, a rich tradition of racing has already been established. The Travers Stakes was first run in 1864, the Kentucky Derby in 1875. So really by the 1900s, we are very well established in the racing industry. The Standardbreds have another hero, Dan Patch. He was so overwhelming that he, in the Standardbred business, that no other horses would race him. He would race just about anything else, and he would also just race himself for time. His image at that time was like the Nike swoosh. Everyone knew Dan Patch. Other Standardbreds of note, and these kind of interesting, Lady Suffolk, the old grade mare from the song, She Ain't What She Used to Be, Flora Temple, the bobtailed nag in Camptown Races, and Dexter, the original model for the weather vane that you see on so many barns in the Midwest and East. 1940, the American Quarter Horse became an official breed registry. And in 1943, the first races were held right here in Tucson, Arizona. A last date of note, Roosevelt Raceway in 1946 started racing at night and really established that niche of harness racing being an evening activity and thoroughbred racing being an afternoon or a daytime activity. So we've had horse racing, just to recap a little bit, we have had horse racing for quite a while. We had horses that were more suited to one style of racing than another, but individual breed registries came later, although they came from the same genetic foundation. So it's up to you to make sure you know when the thoroughbred started as an actual breed registry, the harness horses, which is the United States Trotting Association, and the quarter horses. Just to wrap up, other breeds besides those three do race. Mules race. They do have limited opportunities, but it is quite popular in California. Appaloosas, Paints, and Arabians do race, although the Arabian is more known for its competition over 50 and 100 mile races that are non-paramutual events. They do race in some parts of the country in paramutual type racetracks. The Appaloosa, the Paint, and the Arabian all race under rules that are very similar to the quarter horses and thoroughbreds, so we will not look at those individually, but just make reference to them as we go along. If you remember your picture from early on of Ben Hur and the chariot racing, that does still happen occasionally in this country. Please make sure you look at the picture of cutter or chariot racing done by quarter horses these days. Truly looks like a chariot. It is a very regional sport, mostly in Utah, and it certainly looks fun, and I don't think I'd want to be the one to be in the back of that barrel. Although old Harvey is no longer with us, the Buffalo did race in exhibition races. I don't know where they found those horses that wouldn't spook with the Buffalo, but he made his appearance at a lot of races before his untimely demise. That'll be the end of the lecture for Module 1, and look forward to visiting with you in Module 2.